So Parshas Vayeshev and Chanukah. We're going to do something on Chanukah also in advance. So the number one, the first piece is on the opening pasuk of the Parsha. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megurei Aviv be'eretz Kanaan. Number one on the sheet.
Where's the number one?
On the other side.
Oh.
Okay, so the first verse, Vayeshev Yaakov dwelt be'eretz Megurei Aviv, in the place of his father's sojourn, be'eretz Kanaan, in the land of Kanaan. So Vayeshev means Yaakov wanted to retire. That's basically what Rashi says. B'kesh Yaakov leshev v'shalva. Yaakov wanted to rest peacefully. He wanted to retire. Kafatz alav rogzo shel Yosef. Then immediately the problems with Yosef, with his son Yosef, began, which the Parsha begins to tell us, the whole story of Yosef and the coat of many colors and his brothers and being sold to Egypt, etc. That's our Parsha. So the question here is, Ma tiva shel oso shalva shebikesh Yaakov latzmo? What did he want? What was this business that he wanted to retire? Umadua nigzar alav shelo lehanot bimenu. And how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let him? He didn't let him retire. What's this all about? So he brings a beautiful explanation here. This is from Rav Yeshua Mikutno, the Yeshua's Malko. And he says like this, B'gemara b'sof mesechet brachot. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Shanina, we learn, and this is news to you. I don't know if you know this, but Haniftar min Hameit, Al Yomar Leich Lishalom. When you, at a funeral, let's say, someone says goodbye to someone who passed away, you don't say Leich Lishalom, right? You say Leich Bishalom, right? Al Yomar Leich Lishalom El Leich Bishalom. Go in peace, not go to peace. Haniftar min achai, when you say goodbye to someone that's alive, yomer lo leich lishalom. You go lishalom, go to peace, not go in peace. If you say go bishalom, that's very, it's insulting. Say to someone go bishalom, that's what we say to a niftar. What? Not to a dead person. Not a good way to start the day, right? So you say leich lishalom. So what's the exponent? What's the difference between these two? It's very subtle. Bishalom, lishalom. So Vahezber Lishinui Zeh, let me explain the distinction. Hu shehachai mit no'ea umishtokek. A living person is moving. He's moving. Lahasig hashlemut. He's constantly, when we're alive, we're trying to perfect ourselves. That's why we come to a shir, to learn Torah. We're trying to get better ourselves. We're moving. We're traveling. Ulechen yesh levorcho, therefore you give a bracha. Shehelech elav. You should keep walking. Keep moving. Ulechein omrim leich lishalom. Go towards peace. Go towards peace. Ulumat zot, on the other side of the coin, hameit, the person who passes away, chafshihu min ha-mitzvot. He doesn't have to do mitzvahs anymore. Ve'enoho leich el ha-shlemus. He's no longer traveling to perfection. He's reached the end of the line. Ela im ha-shlemut shirachash lo b'chayav. He is at rest, at peace, with... It's interesting, we say in English, a person is at peace.
Yes.
Like bishalom. A person is, we say in English, he's at peace. That's very interesting. He's bishalom. But it means when he's bishalom is that he has everything that he has, all the mitzvot that he has amassed in his lifetime, that's what he has. Ulechein omrim lo, therefore we say, lich bishalom. Go in peace. Im ota shlemut, with that perfection, with those mitzvot, sigalta lechapo, which you managed to accomplish in this world, biyotcha dayin ale adamot, when you were alive. So now this explains. Yaakov avinu savar. Yaakov thought, ki laacharsha avru alav tsarot rabot. After he lived a life of so much tragedy, so much pain, kol kach lo yinaseh oto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God's now no longer going to test him. He's not going to give him any more tests. V'ratza leishev b'shalv, and he wanted to rest in peace, im ha-shlemut sh'rachash lo b'imei chayav, with all of the shalom, all of the accomplishments that he had until this moment in his life. Right? He wanted to now collect a spiritual pension, so to speak. Ah, however, az kafatz alav rogzo shel Yosef. Immediately he was hit with another problem, with his son Yosef. Why? Ki haya alav od la'amod b'nisayon. He wasn't finished. God wasn't finished with him. He still had to go through more tests. Mechirat Yosef, the sale of his son. V'la'amod b'tzidko. And he had to remain righteous. V'hitba'er lo, and God explained to him, ki adayin alav lalechet lishalom. No, you're not bishalom. You're not finished yet. You're not at peace now. You're not going to sit and collect Social Security checks and old age pensions now, spiritual old age pensions. Now you got to keep going lishalom. Lanua od lavor shlemus. You have much more to do, more mitzvahs to amass. So hold off on those checks. Don't collect Social Security too early, right? Okay, are we getting our checks on time here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Number two. Vayeshev, at now we're going to the end of the story. The Yosef is thrown into jail, right? The whole episode where he was framed by the wife of Potiphar, and she accused him of attacking her, and he was thrown into jail. And in jail, Yosef was quickly discovered by the warden to be a very special person. He put him in charge of the jail. And into the jail comes the chief butler and the chief baker. They were thrown into jail. And they had dreams. And Yosef interpreted the dreams. The dreams were interpreted that the butler was his dream. He interpreted that he will return to his position. And the baker, he told him he's going to be killed. So now, we'll pick up there. This is where the Torah picks up. Vayeshev et sar ha-mashkim al mashkehu. The butler, the wine pourer, the butler was returned to his position. Vayitein hakos al kaf paro. And he gave the cup to paro. Ve'et sar ha-ofim. But the baker, tala ka'asher patar lehem Yosef. He was hung, as Yosef had predicted. Now, Totzaot ha-mishpat. Now he wants to talk about this. The punishment for this, you know, what was their crime? Does the punishment match the crime? That's what he's going to discuss, and he's going to describe this. This is the Orach HaShulchan who is talking. This is Rabbi Yechiel Michal Halevi Epstein, who was the rabbi of Nevardik in Lithuania, and wrote the Orach HaShulchan, a code of Jewish law. So he writes, Totzaot ha-mishpat she'arach paro l'shnei sarav she'sarcho ma'orot t'miya gedola. The judgment, the punishment of these two people is really very strange. Shari Katav Rashi. Rashi writes, Shecheto shel sar hamashkim. What was the sin of the butler? Hayah shenimtza zvuv because hamelech. There was a fly in his cup, right? Ve'ilu cheto shel sar haofi. But the sin of the baker, hayah shenimtza kisam bepat hamelech. There was a kisam, a straw, a toothpick, in the bread, right? Ein safek. No, without a doubt, he says, Shechato shel sar hamashkim gadol beharbe mishal re'ehu sar ha'ofim. You would think that find a fly in the cup is much worse than finding a toothpick or a straw in the loaf of bread. Sharim hakosu notein al yad paro. If he gives the cup to paro, v'kama gadol hu habizayon. How embarrassing this is. Latet biyad hamelech, to give into the hand of the king, mashke shezavuv shoche betocho, a drink in which a fly, a goblet of wine in which a fly is floating around. Right? A little joke, you know. Guy goes into the restaurant, he says, a fly, waiter, there's a fly in my soup.
So, you know, that's an old joke.
How much can he eat? Don't worry about it, right?
How much can he eat?
Shezavuv shoche betocho. That's a terrible crime. Lumat zot et hapat, then the crime of putting finding a piece of straw in the loaf of bread, lo nahug latef biyad hamelech, because first of all, the bread, are there any more sheets?
Yeah, they're all here.
Okay. So we're on number two, and he's asking a question that the Sar HaMashkin was sent back to his position, and the Sar HaOfot was hung. And that's very strange, because the crime of the Sar HaMashkin was a lot worse. A fly in the cup, as opposed to which he holds in his hand, as opposed to a piece of straw in the bread, which is on the table. El lanich ota al shulchan. The bread is on the table, it's not in the hand of Paro. V'klal lo batuach shehamelech Yachel Dafke Prusa Zu Oacher. We're not sure which piece of bread, where in the loaf he's going to take a piece of bread from. It's not a given that he's going to have the straw in his slice of bread. But with the cup, he's certainly going to have the fly. So that's much worse of a crime, right? Ve'ech yagi paro lahachlata ha'sarat higayon shekezu. So how could Paro determine lahashiv et sar ha'mashkin l'tafkido areim? He returns the sar ha'mashkin to his position. Ve'davke et sar ha'ofim litlot alaitz. And the sar ha'ofim, he hangs on a tree. He gets killed. So how do we understand it? It sounds like backwards, right? So now he explains, he gives the explanation of the Orach HaShulchan. And he says, Etzem chatam shel shnei sarei ha-melech me'orer plia. Eich, he asked this question, Eich ira ha-kilkul l'shneim bizman echad halo davarhu. First of all, that the whole thing happened at once is very strange. That both of these guys were thrown into prison at the same day. On the same day, there was a fly in the cup, and there was a straw in the bread. What's going on? So he says that he has a very interesting theory, the Orach HaShulchan. And he says like this. Ubichlal, another question. Ma hare ha'af ha'gadol hazeh? What's the big, how big a deal is this? Emet, he says, true. Hitgale michadal bi'na'alut ha'sarim. It certainly was improper on the part of these servants. Ubeli safek ru'im heim lahadacha mitafkidam ka'onesh al rishlonotam. There's certainly some punishment that they're deserving. Ach, Oshivan ben Ma'asar, put them in jail. To livzor din mavit, al avon kal shegezeh, throw them into jail. And a death penalty. Ein zemi derech ha-musar. We have to understand the ethical backdrop of what Paro did. Ulebesof, again he says, mitbakeshet ha-ora lishonit. I have another question. Madua omer da Torah chato, the sin of the mashke melech Mitzrayim, of the butler, v'ha'ofe, and the baker, la'adoneim l'melech, to their master Mitzrayim. Mimatai ha'edez hirut nechshevet l'chet. If someone is not careful, he messes up. You call that a sin? A chet? Chet is a very strong word. U'lechein, therefore, writes the Orach HaShulchan, libi omer li sha'inim kachaya. Let me suggest what was going on here. And he gives it's a chiddush, really, it's something new. Shnei asarim halal, listen to this. Shnei asarim halal, these two, the baker and the butler, hayu sone'im ze lezeh. They didn't get along. You know, like in most situations, you know, the staff is always fighting. There's infighting amongst the staff. So the butler and the baker were not getting along. And each one wanted to do the other in. V'kol echad ratza lahachshil et amito. Each one wanted to do the other guy in. Kedei sheyevayesh recho be'enei paro. He wanted to put him down in front of Paro. V'yisal kenu mimisrato. And each one wanted the other guy to get fired. So kach ira. So what did they do? Shesar hamashkin, the butler natal kesam, he took a piece of straw, a piece of wood, v'natsu b'chashoyin, secretly put it l'toch pat bag hamelech, and he put it into the bread of the king, right? Kidei shehalachshil et sar ha'ofim, in order to get the baker fired. Asher mitzido lo taman af hu et yado b'tzalachet. He didn't touch the plate. El natal zvuv. So what did the baker, natal zvuv, took a fly. V'hichniso l'toch kos paro, and he put it into the cup. K'dei sh'amelech yireh v'yicharei apo b'sar ha'mashkin. So he wanted to get the butler fired. So the baker put the fly in the cup. Nimtza sh'ikar ha'chet. What was the sin? That's a sin. Haya be'etzem ha'azatam, the chutzpah shel ha'sarim, of these two butlers, the butler and the baker, linkom ze bezeh, the tremendous jealousy that was taking place between the butler and the baker, that is a sin. Jealousy is a sin. Bezeh be'inyanim ha-shayachim le-melech. V'imkein, therefore, dafka, necessarily, cheto shel sar ha-ofim. The sin of the sar of the baker, haya chamor mi-cheto shel sar ha-mashkin. It was more severe than the sin of the butler. And as Paro found out the whole thing, he figured out the whole story. Shekein Sar Ha'ofim, the baker, he'iz panav, shebi'itim Kaasher hitil zvuv because hanitenet al yidei melech mamash. The baker had the chutzpah to put a fly in the cup that the butler was going to give the king. Ulechem dano to paro lemita. That's why the baker was killed, because the baker really did the more severe thing through his act of jealousy. Umasha'en kein sara mashkin, but the butler shehitil kisam l'toch hapat. So he put a little wood, a little piece of straw in the bread. She'en nitenet al yad ha'melech mamash. That wasn't given to the king. Who knows if he would take that piece of bread? He could take the bread from somewhere else. Ulay bichlal lo haya melech notel davka chatichat patzu. Maybe the king wouldn't take that piece of bread. Asher al kein, therefore cheto chamor pachot mishel amito. So the butler was much less than the baker. Umishum kach heshivu par al kino. So the butler was returned his position. Interesting approach. Okay.
Can I just ask something?
Yes.
Okay,
number three. This is a Hanukkah idea here. From the Shem Mishmuel, which we've been seeing lately, Rav Avram Misachichov. He was the Sachichover Rebbe in Poland, and he writes here on Hanukkah. V'lo hayabo lahadlik ele yom echad. We know that they found when the Jews came into the temple and they restored the temple, they found a little vial of oil that was only enough for one day. V'naasebo nes, and miraculously v'hidliku mimenu shmoni yamim. And it lit for 8 days. So, Hiksha Beit Yosef, this is a very famous question. Lama osim Chanukah shmoni yamim? Why do we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? Halo liyom echad hayabo lahadlik. There was enough oil for one day. Imkein lo haya hanes rak lezayin yamim. So really the miracle was a 7-day miracle, not an 8-day miracle, because there was enough oil for one day. So this is the question of the Beit Yosef. And the Beit Yosef offers three answers to this question. And there's actually a sefer, there's a book called Ner Lemea, where the author has 100 answers to this question. 100 answers to this question. Why we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, not 7 days. Okay? So he's going to discuss this now. He's going to give one answer, the Shem Yishmur. Venira, let me suggest an answer based on the following. Dehine, kol geshem, all material things, the physical world, hu bal gvul, has limitation. The spiritual world is a limited world. Shishak tzavot, there are 6 dimensions in the physical world. Dalad ruchot, right? You have north, east, south, and west. Ma'ale u'mata, up and down, like a hexagon. So all of physical matter is a hexagon, right? It's limited, right? The physical world. Ve'eno yotzei migeder gvulo. So the physical world that we live in doesn't go beyond north, east, south, west, up and down. That's the world we live in. Ach, kishenase bones, but a miracle, v'hanes hu loshen hagba'ah, nes from the word a banner, a flag, you it's uplifting, you lift it up, is loshen hagba'ah, as he brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah, su'u nes, v'alamim arim nisi, I lift up my banner, naset mugbal hageshem, upashat surat hageshem, bal gvul, v'lavash tzura nisi, bilti bal gvul. Something that's miraculous is beyond space. It goes above time and above space. The miraculous is not in northeast, west and south, up and down. It goes outside of the natural order. Valkain, hayabo b'shemen. So in other words, he's saying this oil is not normal oil that fits into the hexagon of the physical world. It's miracle oil. It's a miracle oil. It's shemen lahadli kamayami. Ubevada im lohaya lehem od shemen tahor. He says clearly, if they didn't get oil after 8 days, right? The oil would have continued because it was miracle oil. It could go on forever, right? They have these light bulbs like that. You can buy a light bulb, they say it lasts 100 years, right?
Baloney.
Baloney, right? But that's, but here, this is not baloney. This miracle oil could have lasted forever. It was outside of the parameters of the physical world.
Maybe
2-3 months, then. Maybe, right. Divrei Aaron, one of the early rabbis, says, Shagam b'ner ha-ma'aravi, we see in the temple also, in the Beis HaMikdash, Bizman HaMikdash, Eidut Kavua Ilmale Kivoto Vihitivu Mechadash Hayadolek Vaholek Leolam. The lamp of the menorah, if they wouldn't have changed, they did change it every day. The Kohanim changed it every day. But if they wouldn't have changed it, it would have lasted forever. Vahakol Mitamano. And this is all because of this reason. Shahanes Asahu Bilti Balgvul. The miracle, the fact that it was touched by a miracle, it became miracle oil, it was beyond the parameters of the physical world. Rak kivan shelo hutzrachu yoter, but they didn't need it anymore. Lo ratzu lihishtamesh b'nes yoter, so they didn't use the miracle oil anymore, because it took 8 days to go and come back and get oil. V'im kein, therefore, lefize, according to this, shapir muvan, we can understand shekol shmonat hayamim, all 8 days, hayahanes was a miracle, because it's miracle oil. So even the first day, it was enough to last for 1 day, but already that first day it was that miracle oil that was lighting, and therefore the nes began on that day also. Hanes v'dalak shemen nisi, so it was miracle oil, v'lo shemen tivi klal, it was not natural oil. Shaharei kfar pashat hatsura tivi, it lost its physical, normal attire, v'lavash tsura nisi, and it was now this miracle oil. V'havena dvarim, understand this, she'i efshar lefaresh b'ketav yoter. I can't go on any further, he says. There's much more I want to say, but he's talking, whenever the Shem Yishmul says this, he says it would lead us into the world of the Kabbalists, of Kabbalah. We're not going there. That's, you know, lo lefi erkenu. It's not for us. But now he says something very interesting based on this. You know that after the miracle of Hanukkah, we didn't have a picnic. It was still Greek rule. And one of the things that the Rambam says, that for a couple of hundred years, the tribe of Chashmonaim, the Kohanim, were the kings of Israel. And that was not, they're not supposed to be kings, because the kings came from the tribe of Yehuda. And because of that, they eventually, the Chashmonaim disappeared from Jewish history. To the point that the Talmud said, if someone comes to you and says that they're from the tribe of the Chashmonaim, don't believe them. They were obviously a slave, a butler, or a baker for the Chashmonaim, but they're not from the Chashmonaim. So listen to what he does with this concept, with that story. Ubidvarim Elu, with this in mind, with now this whole business of the miracle oil, that the whole business of Hanukkah took us beyond the hexagon, beyond the natural order of the physical world. Yesh li yashev kusha atzuma, I want to answer a difficult question. Shaharamban katav, the Ramban writes, and he writes, Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. In the bracha that in Vayechi, the blessing that was given to Yehuda was Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, that the tribe of Judah was promised to always be the kings of Israel. Shahachashmonayim, who were Kohanim from Shevet Levi, Shemalchu bi Yisrael, who were kings. Avru al tzavat hazake, they committed a sin against the commandment of Yaakov Avinu, that Yehuda should be the king. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. Ubo aleim onish, and they were punished. Onish nimratz, shenichrat zaram rachman alitzlan. They eventually were wiped out completely, the Chashmonaim. V'yesh li tmoa harbe, we have to ask a question. Madua hatzadikim ha'elu, why was it that these righteous people, these were the Maccabim, they were holy people. Yura Maccabi, right? Matityahu Bonav, they were tzaddikim. So how is it that these tzaddikim were wiped out? Shekaimu kol Yisrael b'mesirat nafsham. They sacrificed their lives and saved the Jewish people, right? Eich avru al mikra mefurash b'Torah b'zadun. How could they go against a verse in the Torah that lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, that they had no right to take the kingship? Oh, afilu b'shkaga, even by shogeg. They did it unknowingly, unwittingly. How could that be? But Kol Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, Iskimu Imam, it would appear that the entire Jewish people and the Sanhedrin, the court, agreed with it. V'lo oru otam lahazkiram she'ovrim al mikra she'mafurshim. Nobody told them that they were doing anything wrong. Ve'en lo mar she'hem lo malchi b'Yisrael. Don't say they weren't kings. El zara machareim. Except v'tomer she'hem lo hayu kol kach tzadikim u'malchu b'zroah. Lo yitakeh. You want to say that their children weren't so good? Shari mefurash. Kan. U'kishegavru malchut beit chashmonai. It says when the house of the Chashmonaim were victorious against the Greeks, v'nitzchum, and defeated them, Hari Hashas Korei HaMenatzchim B'Shem Malchut, calls them kings. They're referred to as kings. So it seems that nobody objected. That's also very strange. The Sanhedrin didn't stop them. Nobody stopped them. And for a couple of hundred years, the Chashmonaim were the kings of Israel. But eventually, that was a sin. They were wiped out. How do we understand this? So he says now, based on the original idea of the miracle oil, that the whole business of Chanukah was above time and space. Ach lefi darkeinu hanal, but according to the way we're learning the miracle of Chanukah, yesh lomar, we can suggest, dehine nitzchonam, the victory, shahaya b'neis gadol ma'od haya ke'ei neis Hashem. You know that the military victory was also above nature, was also miraculous, right? A small army in the hands of a large army, right? How could they win? So this was also, just like the miracle, the oil was a miracle, the war was also a miracle. The whole victory was a miracle. V'hainu sheyotzu migeder balei geshem. So they were outside of the parameters of this world. V'hugba'u l'madregat. They were lifted up to nigdal, to a higher order. Machmat mesirat nafsham, because of their mesiras nefesh, their self-sacrifice. Almanat laharog al kedushat Hashem v'torato, they were ready to be killed. Al kain, second column, nitaleg gam gufam l'madreget sichalim nidalim. Their whole being, the body and soul of the Maccabim, were elevated. They were no longer normal people. They were like almost like angels. Ukemoshe timtzev shemalach echad harag et kol ha'aluchson shebechayel sancherev kach hogu muatim et hamarug. It was a miracle that a small band of Maccabim killed all these Greeks. They were like miracle oil. They were miracle people. So they were above space and time. Hine amruz, all the rabbis say, Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, Kohen Gadol v'holech b'kotche kotchim, af shehaya Levi. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was considered a melech. Even though he was from the tribe of Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu was also melech, had a din of melech. Vahatam, why was Moshe the king? Machmat she Moshe lo haya mugbal b'kav yadua, ela haya lemaile mikol ha'pachim. That Moshe Rabbeinu himself was above the natural order of things. Al kein haya yachol lo'ab Levi u'behem b'yachad, u'kohen b'yachad, he could be both at once. V'hinei ne'emar, it says, v'yihi bishurin melech. Al Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says that Moshe was melech. V'lo ne'emar she'avar al tzavat hazaken. We don't say that Moshe sinned against the bracha of Yaakov, that Yehuda should be kings. Moshe was also called king. Hainu nami mitam zeh, but it's the same reason. Machmat ki tzavat hazaken, the command of Yaakov, that the tribe of Judah should be, of Yehuda should be kings, hayeta ba'asher kol shevet, Yeshlo midi yadua. When each tribe was living a normal human existence, umidat malchut, and the business of being king, eino bechol ha'shvatim ela b'Yehuda. That only belonged to Yehuda. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe shehaya lemala mikol hafachim, he was above the material world. Kein nami haya yachol liot mel, he could be king. And that's what I want to say concerning the Maccabim. Just like the miracle of the oil was miraculous, they elevated themselves. Kulam bechochma asit, v'kol ha'afachim shebaolam kulam motzam bechochma. Shehi reshit habriya. All right, language is a little difficult. I'll just finish it in my words. Basically, what he's saying is that the Chashmonaim became Kohanim because they were above the natural human order of the Shvatim. It was a miracle. And miraculously, they were allowed to be Kohanim, just like miraculously the oil burned. They were like Malachim. But their future generations were not. So that generation was fine. It was the later generations who did not live up to that level, that angelic level, so eventually they were destroyed. That's how he explains it. Okay, now the last piece, you see, is in English, and this is from the Chazon Ish, the great Chazon Ish, who lived in our time, and he wrote a sefer called Emunah and Bitochen, which has been translated into English. It is a must. It is a tremendous, tremendous sefer. And he talks about Emunah and Bitochen. He talks about Bitachon, right? Trust in God. And his the whole basis of his sefer is that people make a mistake. They think bitachon is, you know, I have to have trust in God. Either something bad will happen or something good will happen. I have trust in God that something good's going to happen. He said, that's not bitachon. That's not what trust is. A person has to make certain efforts in life, right? So now, there was one piece here in chapter 2 which dovetails with our parsha. And I want to go through with you. However, there's a mistake in the way I laid it out here, so I'll direct traffic here on this sheet. And I also left out a piece, but it's okay, we'll figure it out. It starts at the beginning. The first at the beginning. It's number 4 on the sheet. Okay, number 4 on the sheet.
Got it.
So he's focusing on this mitzvah of bitachon, of trust. So he writes, even though the question is, going to deal with a question at the end of the parsha. When the butler is free to go home, to go back to the palace, he asks him, please remember what I did for you and tell Paro so I can get out of here. Right? Now, was that a good thing that he did or not? So let's see how the Chazon Ish deals with that moment. Incidentally, I just want to point out something. I think that one of the central moments in the Parsha, which is skipped over by the Mephorshim, and it's just at the end in Shvi, in the end, just before this episode, when the it tells you so much volumes about Yosef. When the butler and the beggar were thrown into the prison, Yosef says to them, you know, forget the exact words of the pasuk in Hebrew, Lama Atem. He says, why are you so sad? Why are you so sad today? That was his first reaction when he saw them. Like, what's the matter? Right here he is, Yosef. Yosef knows what he is. He knows how great he is. He knows that he's destined to the Jewish people. Are going to come from him. He's this great person, Yosef HaTzadik. He knows what he's supposed to have. And he's sitting in jail. And he turns to this butler and this baker, these two criminals, like we saw the way the Aruch HaShulchan described. They're criminals. And they're thrown, and he looks at them, and the first thing he says, what's the matter? Why are you so sad? This shows you the greatness. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik, right? Not too many people are called Tzadik, right? So now, the Chazon Ish picks up on this. Let's see what he says. He's talking about Bitachon. Even though the main point of Bitachon, of trusting in Hashem, is an obligation of the heart, with some practical mitzvahs connected to it, such as the obligation to refrain from acting against others. Somebody does something to you. So the mitzvah bitachon is, you know, I once heard a story of a great person, and some people on a train insulted him and were making fun of him. So as he got off the train, he turned to them and he says, I'm just praying that you'll become so busy in whatever you do in life that you won't have time for this nonsense. Right? That's greatness. That's greatness, right? So that's bitachon, right? So with some practice, such as the obligation, still he says, there are some limitations relating to the efforts that one is allowed to make. How far can you go? Sometimes, trusting clashes with worldly efforts and prohibits specific steps when you trust in God. Certainly, if I trust in Hashem, certain things I don't do. We have the obligation to consider carefully any act before we do it. A person has to think before he acts, making sure that it is in keeping with the trait of bitachon, of trust. Our sages say, now he picks up our story. Our sages said in the Medrash, here we have a Medrash, right? on Parshas Miketz that Yosef HaTzadik's, now, go down on the on that little paragraph on the bottom, okay, exertion, that's where we continue here. Okay, it's a little confusing because I messed up when I pasted it, okay? So the Medrash Rabbah on Parshas Miketz that Yosef HaTzadik's exertion in asking the chief butler to remember him to Paro showed that he was not serious enough in his trust of Hashem. One second. You don't like it, right? Why not? Make every effort you can. Well, because the verse says, happy is the man who places his trust in Hashem, right?
Right.
That is the speaking of Yosef, and does not, now, this is tricky. No, this is tricky.
I'm not trying because I've got problems with nearsight and
thoughts. Now go back. Now go back to the left-hand column. Turn. You see the word turn? Now that's where we're continuing, okay?
Where's turn?
It's about 10 lines down on the left-hand column.
Yeah. Right, I got it.
Okay, so this pasuk, right? Asher Yisha, you know, trusts in Hashem and does not turn to untrustworthy people. Ra'avim, the pasuk said. So Yosef, you trust in Hashem, you don't turn to untrustworthy people. Because Yosef approached the chief butler, who was he trusting, right? It was decreed that he would stay in prison for an additional 2 years. Pretty stiff punishment from Hashem because he did this. In other words, Yosef knew that his salvation was not dependent on any exertion on his part and that everything comes from Hashem. Yosef knew that. But since human beings are obligated to act, you have to try and not depend on miracles, Yosef obligated himself to make the use of the opportunity and to enlist the help of the chief butler. So what's wrong? But we're dealing with Yosef. It's not in the nature of people of that rank to remember and do favors. First of all, he's asking the wrong person. This guy, this lowlife, he's asking to remember him. And therefore, this act of Yosef was not appropriate, since it was an act of desperation. A desperate person does anything he can, even futile actions, which someone who trusts in Hashem should not do. He is not obligated to take such actions. You know that this guy's not going to... And furthermore, it's interesting to point out that this was... He didn't go out yet. He asked him 3 days before. He said, in 3 days you're going to go out. If you really wanted him to help and he trusted in Hashem, maybe Hashem will save him in the next 3 days. Wait till he's leaving the prison to ask. But he didn't do that. He did it 3 days before. So give Hashem a chance, another 3 days, right? So he didn't trust in Hashem to the extent that he trusted in this character that was not dignified for Yosef. This is not for Yosef. This act of Yosef's, as it were, was akin to throwing dust on the glory of his faith and trust in Hashem. And since it was not obligatory, it was forbidden. Yosef had no business trusting this guy. Our sages here are referring to Yosef's action, not to the extent of his trait of trust. He slipped up here. Yosef knew that no human being could help him, only Hashem. But his feeling of obligation to ask the chief butler, according to the tradition of our sages, came from a mistaken judgment. He should not have turned to untrustworthy sources for help. In other words, are you allowed to ask people to make efforts? Of course. But think before you ask. Who are you asking? Who are you asking? You're going to ask this guy? No, you know, this guy, what's he going to do for you, right? He's going to sell you down the river. You know, I saw, there's a story going around New York now. I don't know if you saw this in the news, but there's a beautiful picture that's going around of a policeman bending down.
Oh, yes.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Putting shoes
on a homeless
person. $100 pair of shoes that he bought for him.
Out of his own pocket.
And what did the poor guy do? Yeah. You know what he did?
He tried to.
He saw him the next day, and he's going barefoot. So he said, what's going on here? He says, you don't understand something. These shoes will kill me. I'll be killed for these shoes.
Oh, yeah.
In the society that I live in, with the homeless people, they'll kill me and take my shoes.
So he sold them and he gave them away.
Gave them away, right?
Everybody else doesn't have shoes.
Is that you?
Right. So, sort of dovetails with this idea, certain people that are different orders of society. It's interesting that this story came up this week because the Parsha, if I was speaking Shabbos, I would tell this story because it says that the brothers sold Yosef for what?
For shoes.
For a pair of shoes. Right, a pair of shoes. Interesting.
Oh my gosh!
I didn't remember.
What's that? Yeah, it's also a medrash. Okay, so let's finish this. So that was Yosef. You're supposed to make an effort, but this you make an effort with the baker, with the butler. His, you know, it's an uncommon denominator. His rule of society is totally different, right? There is more to the trait of trust. Now here, I'm gonna have to read to you. You don't have this. There is more to the trait of trust. One more paragraph. For a Holy Spirit rests on the person who trusts in Hashem. Right? We actually say it in Davening. Habotech b'Hashem chesed yisov avenu. It's in the special prayer we say on Yom Tov, when they open up the Aron Kodesh. Habotech b'Hashem chesed yisov avenu. He who trusts in God is surrounded by grace. Right? Accompanies him, right? By a spirit that tells him that Hashem is the person who trusts in Hashem, there's a spirit that tells him that Hashem will indeed help him. As King David said, David HaMelech said, if you bring a host upon me, my heart will have no fear. If a war comes upon me, in this I will trust. This matter varies according to the level of the person's trust and his degree of holiness. It depends on what level we're on. In other words, the conviction of a person who has complete trust in God can indeed bring about a good outcome as opposed to a bad one, right? But trust is not the pshat that bitachon means, well, something good will happen or something bad, something good's going to happen. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to have trust in Hashem and try to make an effort, but the effort has to have seichel to it. Not like this was the mistaken judgment that Yosef made. Okay, so that's it. Time flies.
When you're having fun.